Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, on my life, we praise Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking, Yahweh died? Man, come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied? Man, you frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook. Minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein by saying hallelujah. Let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet and that's listening by the way of blog talk on our phone lines. My name is Murray Ishaya ben Yisrael, out of the House of Israel, Raleigh, North Carolina, bringing you another program of Nothing But the Truth. And again, as I let all our people know, no matter where you at, no matter where you're listening at, that all you're going to get is the truth. But for some strange reason, if you're suspicious of anything that I'm saying, give me a call and we will discuss it. Again, I praise Almighty Yah for bringing us through another week to praise his holy, righteous, and exalted name. Truly, we made it very far. Anything could have happened, but the Almighty mercy extended us that we might even join ourselves together once again tonight to speak his truth. We have another beautiful program prepared for you tonight, but before we get into our program tonight, again, I want to remind everyone, again, if you have not made major reservations for our upcoming gathering to seek the Most High, to seek Yah, to seek righteousness, and to seek meekness, visit our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org, and get all the information that you need to make your reservations. Of course, we will be in Suffolk, Virginia at the Hilton Garden Inn. That's Suffolk, S-U-F-F-O-L-K, Virginia, at the Hilton Garden Inn. And we will be there the 27th, the 28th, and 29th. Of course, there are many that's coming early as their 6th day, which is good, because we will have all the people there. Also, where we can get together and fellowship with one another. So if you're getting in early, that is fine. We will have things planned for those who get there early. By March the 1st, I will unveil in writing the agenda, the 3-day agenda for the 3-day gathering. You will have the times, and you will also have exactly what would take place. And I don't want anyone to be confused about what will take place during the 3-day gathering. Of course, there are many events or many things going on in the Israelite community. We have brothers who will be in Virginia who also will join us. They will be having a gathering themselves, and it's called a man's or men retreat. This men retreat will be held in Virginia also, and I was able to talk to the organizers of this event, and we let them know we support the event, and we let them know that we might even sponsor someone that might want to be a part of that event, where various brothers are coming together. Some are leaders and teachers, and some are just brothers who just want to get together. And they're just going to fellowship with one another on a secular level. And we support it. And we may sponsor some brother that might would like to join these brothers in this endeavor. Also, another Israelite event that's taking place called a flag raising ceremony, where there are Israelites who believe that it is critical and very necessary, and even prophecy, that they raise a flag in this day and time. We also spoke with these various brothers on this particular issue, and after speaking with them, we did not agree with their premise that as Israel we were to raise a flag. And nor did we agree that this was prophecy. And we let them know that although we love them and we appreciate them, but this particular event we could not support. And they were fine with that. But it also will be held in Virginia as well. just to update you all on what's going on in the Israelite community. And one of the main reasons why we could not support the flag raising endeavors because the various brothers organizing this particular event teach that the flag is the ensign that the Creator is setting up in the last days. And of course, we totally disagree with their premise. And I dealt with it on my Sabbath class, but I will deal with it on this program as well, Nothing But the Truth. But I just want to let you know what's going on. Also, I will be in Jackson, Mississippi next weekend to further discuss our gathering of Seeking Yah. And I also will join brothers and sisters there in Jackson, Mississippi, where we will support also Israelite Spiritual Action Committee, which is called YSOC. They're holding a gathering or memorial, more like a gathering, to take a trip to New Orleans February the 28th at the Whitney Plantation. The Whitney Plantation once was a 250-acre estate owned by a wealthy slaveholding family. And several years ago, the property was purchased by a wealthy Gentile named John Cummings. And upon purchasing the abandoned property during an auction, Mr. Cummings, discovered the horrific artifacts from past human rights abuse and turned this estate into an eye-opening slave museum that reveals the depths of our mistreatment in this country. And YSOC, this Israelite Spiritual Action Committee, will revisit this painful episode during Black History Month, February the 28th. And we will take a 1-hour tour of the museum. And, of course, during this time, we will also be speaking and talking about our past and why. Lest we forget what happened to us. Lest we forget why things happened to us. So this is what will be taking place next weekend, February the 27th, as well as February the 28th. Of course, if you plan on going to the Whitney Plantation, the cost of the museum tour is $22 for adults and free for all children under 12 years old. So I just wanted to know what is going on other than what we are doing. And if you have any questions, from further questions on anything, give me a call, 919-931-6216. And I apologize because I had certain texts coming in for questions. But let us get into what our program is for tonight. As stated before, we have another beautiful program for you. And we're going to get right into it. Of course, last night I was on another program or a conference call teaching and answering questions about seeking the Most High and why we feel it is mandated, why it's necessary, and why we must do it now. Of course, last week I also was on a conference call doing the same course. Next weekend I will also be answering questions as well as speaking on this endeavor or gathering, as I would like to let people know. And one of the main questions that I'm asked when I'm speaking is, how will we know, or people will ask me, well, what is our expectations? What will come out of this? I'm frequently asked, how do we know whether the Creator has intervened in a divine way? Will we see anything different? Will we notice any changes? Or will we be the same people when we go there, when we leave? Of course, none of these things I can definitively answer. Only Yah knows what will take place afterwards. Only Yah knows what would take place during, and only Yah knows how much of a change would take place in you and I. Only Yah knows. But if you want to know how change look when Yah intervene in life, in the life of man, how that actually look, and how it affected the various people, the various groups, the various congregation that was affected by that change. And let me show you a few things so you'll know what you might want to look for if the Creator decides to answer our prayers and intervene in a divine way. One particular scripture that I would like you to read is in a book of Genesis. Genesis 41. In the book of Genesis 41, let us start reading just to give you a backdrop on Genesis 41. Genesis 41 is about Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh had this dream, and it was a horrifying dream that nobody could interpret. And he needed somebody to interpret it. and they went and found a Hebrew that was in custody and brought him to Pharaoh, because they said this Hebrew had the ability to interpret dreams. And this Pharaoh and this Hebrew that was taken to Pharaoh to interpret this dream, his name was Yosef. And I'm going to start reading so you can really understand what divine intervention looks like. Start at the 25th verse, Genesis 41, verse 25. And this is what it says. And Yosef said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. And Elohim has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Of course, if you don't know, Pharaoh first dreamed about some cows, healthy cows, being devoured by some looking cows. And then he woke up from it. And then Pharaoh dreamed again, and he dreamed about these stalks and corn and wheat, and they were blasted by the east wind. And he woke up again, and now he dreamed twice, and he just needed to find out what this means. And it says, and Yosef said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, and Elohim has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine fallen, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. This is why oftentimes when we go to the scriptures, if you want to know the truth, if you're trying to establish something as the truth, the scriptures say, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. And the other way to establish the truth is when the Creator doubles something. This is how he established something, because now he's demonstrating really two witnesses. And Pharaoh had two dreams. Then it says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh's said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man whom the spirit of Elohim is? And Pharaoh said unto Yosef, for as much as Elohim have showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Yosef, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Yosef's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And what are we demonstrating? What are we showing? And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about divine intervention. This is how the Creator intervenes in the life of man. And one of the most common things the Creator do when he intervenes in the life of man, he put his spirit upon man. And what a spirit does is change a man. And what are we looking for in us? Are we looking for changes? Sure we are. Who wants to continue the gross darkness that we find ourselves in? Who wants to continue the lack of knowledge that Creator said his people are destroyed for? And who wants to continue the cycle of hatred, the cycle of adversity and vexation that we have amongst our community, and that we continue to pass down to our children? And the only thing that will stop us and set us on the right track is the spirit of Elohim. And how do we get that spirit? Of course, as many of you all know, the way we get this spirit, we must seek the Most High. We must seek Yah. Let me further show you how this looks when the Creator intervened in a divine way. In the book of Numbers, Numbers, the 27th chapter, another scripture I want you to read so you can see with your own eyes how divine intervention, how it looks. Because if you know how it looks, then you will know what one can expect. In the book of Numbers 27, and I'm going to start at the 15th verse, and this is what it says. And Moshe spoke unto Yah, saying, let Yah, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yah be not as sheep which have no shepherd, And Yah said unto Moshe, take thee Yahushua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and let him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Who was Joshua? Well, Joshua is the one that was commissioned to bring the children of Israel in the land. And did he do this? Yes, he did. It was through him. And how did he do it? By divine intervention. And what was this divine intervention that allowed him to do it? Well, this divine intervention was the Spirit of Elohim. Because nothing can be done, nothing can be accomplished in any divine way without the Creator Spirit. For instance, in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, so you can see what I'm trying to convey to you. Because people want to know, well, how are you going to know that changes have taken place? How would you know that something divine has happened? Look what the book of Genesis, the first chapter, say. The very first chapter, the very first verse, and look what it says. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And watch what this says. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. In other words, when the Creator began to make the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, including the light, before he went to do his work, what happened? It tells you what happened. The Spirit of Elohim moved upon the waters. And why? Because it is the Spirit that brings change. It is the Spirit that one must have in order for you to do divine works. And this is what we must look for. This is what we must watch for. Also, to show you also how this divine intervention is described. Another scripture is in the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, because not only does it come upon individuals, not only will it come upon the earth, but also it will come upon a group of people. And look what it says in the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. And we're going to start reading 10 verse. And this is what it says. Then Moshe heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of Yah was kindled greatly. And Moshe also was displeased. And Moshe said unto Yah, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swores unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And Yah said unto Moshe, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle, unto the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not thyself alone. This is divine intervention. And what did the Most High do? He set up 70 elders. And he took these 70 elders and placed them with Moses. And the spirit that was on Moses, which most people will agree, he had the spirit of Elohim. And he took that spirit that Moses had, put it on 70 other elders. And this same spirit allowed them to rule, to govern Israel. Is not this the spirit that we want? Is this not the spirit that we seek? Spirit that would allow us to be righteous? That allow us to fear Elohim? That would allow us to judge Israel? That allow us to teach the truth? That allow us to be unified? That allow us to walk together? Is not this same spirit that we desire? And another scripture that I would like you to see, a scripture demonstrating and showing the expectations of divine intervention. In the book of Daniel, Daniel the 4th chapter, this way you'll know what to look for. Why look for divine intervention and you don't even know how it looks? In the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter, we will start reading at the 37th verse. And this is what it says. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I apologize, I said Daniel, the fourth chapter, but I read the wrong verse. Daniel, the fourth chapter, the eighth verse. And I was at the wrong verse. And this is what it says. But at the last, well, we're going to start at the seventh verse. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of his deity, and in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Daniel, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in thee, and no secret trouble thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. And the only reason why Daniel knew dreams, the only reason Daniel knew visions, is because of the Most High. And he was in captivity. But he still had the spirit of the Elohim. And this same spirit we ourselves are looking for, because it is this spirit that set one above everybody else. It is this spirit that was transformed what you know today will be totally different tomorrow. And what will this spirit do? This spirit will allow Israel to rise above everybody else. And many will look for this spirit that will lie in men. And what type of man will this spirit lie in? Man is called a servant of Yah. And let me show you this so you can see with your own eyes. If you go to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, or make that Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, Isaiah 42, can see what the Creator has prophesied to do. In Isaiah 42, and we're going to start reading at the first verse. And this is what it says. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold. My elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. This is what his servant will do. And who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the nations that we find ourselves in the midst of today. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. In other words, we're not like the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and the other civil rights leaders that tend on marching our problems away. But yet we still have them to this day. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. See, he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And who will do this? His servant. And how will his servant do this? By the Spirit of Elohim. This is divine intervention. You also find this in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. And this is what it says, third verse. Now let me start at the first verse. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yah that have made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant. And thou, Yesharon, which means thou, darling, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And this is how you're going to know some of them. One shall say, I am Yah, and another shall call himself by the name of Yaakov, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yah, and surname himself by the name of Israel. These are some of the things his servant will do. Now, how would they do it? And why would they do it? By the Spirit of Elohim. Look at Isaiah 48. And what are we discussing? What are we talking about? We're talking about what is divine intervention? How does divine intervention look? What is our expectation? Of course, many have told us they saw Yah. They've done it many times before. They even tell you the dates that it was done. And once you see divine intervention, once divine intervention is experienced, you can rest assured there will not be any mistake about it. It will transform lives. It will transform nations, It will transform even the earth. This is what makes divine intervention so unique and different than anything that our people have ever experienced and saw in modern day time. And this is the divine intervention that we are seeking. In the book of Isaiah, the 48th chapter, the 16th verse, well, we'll start at the 15th verse. I have spoken, yet I've called him, I've brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now Yah Elohim and his spirit have sent me. Calls us. It is Yah spirit that leads us and guides us. And it will be Yah spirit, the spirit of Elohim, that will help us to overcome this adversity, this vexation, this hatred that we have passed down to our children. This same hatred and adversity and vexation that we have inherited from our parents. And at some point, at some time, this must come to an end. And how will it come to an end? Well, the way it comes to an end is through the spirit of Elohim. Spirit of Elohim. And just a couple other scriptures before I go to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening intently. To the words I'm sharing with them. As usual, if you want to make any comments, give us a call. 347-838-8963. And press the number 1 on your phone. And if you desire to make any comments or ask any questions, and you're listening, internet, text me, 919-931-6216. Again, what are we discussing? We're discussing what divine intervention actually looked like and the possibility of what can be experienced. Because we can say anything. We can say we done sought Yah. We believe in Yah. We serve Yah. Yah is righteous. We can say anything. But the Creator has already let us know that we have served him with our mouth. But our heart is far from him. Let me show you another scripture, one more scripture, in the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter. Daniel was unique because he was an advisor in Babylon to 4 different nations in Babylon. This is how long, then you actually ruled and lived. Even though the administrations passed the law, Daniel still marching on. And in the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter, this is what it says. And we're going to start reading in the 8th verse, and this is what it says. Daniel 5:8. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his masters were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his masters, came into the banquet house. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in this same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And look what this man said after Daniel was called in the 14th verse. Even heard of thee, that the spirit of Elohim is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. These are the type of things that the Creator will do. These are examples of what divine intervention actually looks like. This is what we are looking for, and this is what we need. Because a spirit such as this will transform experiences that we are faced with today. And without this spirit, we will forever be Negroes instead of servants of Yah. And just to show you another scripture on how it is prophesied that this spirit will transform even the whole earth, especially the children of Israel. And give me a call, 347-838-8963, and we can discuss this with our beautiful brothers and sisters. Look in the book of Zechariah I think you're going to find this. The 12th chapter. In the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse. And this is what it says. Yah also shall save the tents of Yehuda first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda. In that day shall Yah defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yah before them. So the Creator is letting us know that there will be a house, which is the house of David. They will be like Elohim. And there's only one way you can be like an Elohim. The only way you can be like an Elohim is that you have the spirit of Elohim. And it's the spirit that will transform the very thing that we know of today. So what are we looking for? To destroy and abolish this great hatred, this vexation, this adversity. What are we looking for? To bring about love and unity and brotherhood. And righteousness and meekness. The same thing. The spirit of Elohim, the spirit of the Most High. This is what we're looking for. This is divine intervention. This is what Yah himself has prophesied will be done in his servant. Will possess. For the Spirit shall come upon him, and he shall be bring truth and judgment to the earth. So give us a call. 347-838-8963. And we have one caller up now, and we're going to go right to one of our callers. And this is one of our Morays out of the house of Israel. Moray Yehoshua ben Yisrael. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Moray. How you doing?
Doing excellent. Praise the mighty Yah. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Praise the mighty Yah. And as I was listening to your program tonight, it just two things came to mind, how the Almighty always established a matter after two or more witnesses. And I was thinking how Joshua got jealous when the two elders got the spirit of Moses on them, and he ran to Moses to tell Moses, hey, Moses, two men prophesying in the camp. And Moses said, don't be jealous for my sake. It'd be great that all of us had that same spirit and all of us prophesied. And just for the mere fact that they came in the presence of Moses, the Almighty Spirit came upon them. that you know how powerful the Spirit is of the Most High and how distinct and different it is than any other spirit. And also what's come to mind in Isaiah 11 chapter when the Almighty talks about the seed of Jesse, which we know to be David, and he giving multiple spirits. One, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, and the spirit and the fear of Elohim. Let you know how powerful the Almighty Spirit is. And you demonstrated that so beautifully, how this divine intervention is going to look. And you painted a picture that was so clear to me that you, in order for you to humble yourself, in order for you to understand things, what the Almighty wants us to do, you have to understand that it's going to be in through His Spirit. Just like Daniel, just like Abraham, just like Noah, just like Job, just like all the righteous patriarchs that our ancient forefathers were, the Almighty took the ability to put His Spirit on them, even Saul. And once the Almighty Spirit left him, then you know exactly what He did. And that's exactly what it's going to take for us to unify. That's exactly what it's going to take for us to truly dwell in brotherly love. And I just appreciate that the Almighty put it upon you to even see this is exactly what this divine intervention looked like. And I just want to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and you're absolutely right. And that is an excellent story. And Joshua became a little envious. And Moses said, I wish that everyone had this spirit, that, as you stated. And, of course, undoubtedly, there will come a time where everybody will have this spirit. Most of the people had a spirit like David. And
Yeah. The
rest of the people had a spirit of Elohim, David's house. And this is what we got to know. This is what we look for. This is what we pray for. Because this is what will ultimately, as you know, transform the state of condition our people find themselves in. And our people find themselves in great trouble, great adversity, and great vexation. And what else can change the dynamics of our existence other than that? There's nothing else but the spirit of Elohim. So I appreciate those comments, and we just want the people to see our expectations and what the Creator has shown us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you have any other questions or comments, call us. And if you listen by phone, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. Scripture I want you to see is in the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And this is what happened when Samuel went to meet Jesse. And what way Yehoshua talked about Jesse, how according to the scriptures, according to prophecy, it says the seed of Jesse shall stand as an ensign. This is how we know it's not a flag. Because Jesse didn't bear no flags. No flags came out of Jesse. There were sons that came out of Jesse. And according to the scriptures, one of those sons was going to stand as an ensign. There's many Israelites that believe it's just a seed. And they don't know who it is. Of course, we know who it is, and that's David, all through the book. So we know there's no flag standing as an ensign. And look what it says in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Start reading something that Samuel did with Jesse in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 3rd verse. Or let's start at the 2nd verse. It says, and Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. And Yah said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yah. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Yah spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully. I am come to sacrifice unto Yah. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Yah anointed is before him. But Yah said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for Yah seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yah looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither have Yah chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have Yah chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Yah have not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaining yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And Yah said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of Yah came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is how divine intervention looks. It's not some glamorous thing that a lot of people is hoping to happen. It's not some great thing that one want to see. They want to see hurricanes and tornadoes and fire and brimstone from heaven. No, divine intervention is when the Creator Spirit is brought and rests and laid upon his servants. And when this happens, then you will see change. Not the change that was prophesied and failed by the President of the United States. He promised change, and all we got are the same things. The same thing he ran on is the same thing we got. No change at all. And have we got anything different from anyone else that have said and called that they have sought Yah? what changes have taken place? Because why would you seek the Most High expecting nothing? And why would the Creator tell his people that if you seek me, you shall find me? And truly, the Almighty is not a man that he shall lie, nor the Son of Man that he shall repent. What the Creator say, he mean. And what he mean, he say. How do divine intervention look? Are our expectations? What are we waiting for? What else will transform this great hatred and vexation and adversity that we find ourselves in? Else will hide us in the day of Yah's anger? What else can withstand the nations that have determined to destroy us as we speak right now? Everything they're doing and everything they have done was to destroy us. The food is polluted. The water is polluted. The air that we breathe is polluted. The knowledge that we have received is greatly polluted. How can a man withstand and overcome these great obstacles that we are faced with? Well, there's only one way. And that's the spirit of Elohim. The spirit of the Most High. Show you something else that's real important that we have to come to terms with. And I want to see if I can find it real quick. And it's in the book of Proverbs. But again, if you have any questions, comments, give us a call, 347-838-8963, or text me. Something I want to read to you. And give me a second, and I'm going to go right to another one of our callers. I think this is the Florida area, 850 area code. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, how are you?
Shalom, my beloved sister Sharon, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, praise God.
Praise the Lord of Yah, praise the Lord of Yah.
Yeah, just enjoying the program. And, I just wanted to comment on I love the topic, that you have concerning the spirit. And also I was thinking about, as far as the humbling process of the event. I mean, because I know that we shouldn't just show up and just humble ourselves. You know, that there should be something that we do in preparation for this. I mean, to get that low, are some preparations that we can do? And also, once we get there and we humble ourselves, and then what should that look like afterward? I mean, what do we leave there with? Should there be a permanent change in us based on that humbling? You know, should our lives be different once we leave there? You know, should we go back, you know, the same way as far as, you know, or should we lift ourselves back up, you know what I'm saying, to the same level that we were after that great humbling? Or should we continue on a certain level, you know, once we leave, you know, that would change our lives permanently, you know, based on this experience, you know, whether, you know, no matter what happens. You know, I'm just saying, shouldn't this event change us and humble us permanently in some way, and what might that look like? And also, what should we do in preparation for such a great humbling?
What a beautiful questions, beautiful questions. And the one I will answer first is what should be done before we go to the Most High. Of course, as you know, the Creator all over the Scripture tell us that we must humble ourselves. One of the Scriptures that I love real good, and I may, if I can make it happen, I'm going to have a guest speaker next week, and he'll talk on this. And but in the book of Isaiah 51, and I want to read this, and this is what it says. Let's see. Is it Isaiah 51? Let me see. Oh, it's Psalms 51, not Isaiah 51. Yeah. Psalms 51. Mm-hmm. And this is what it says. This one, I love this particular psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I love it so much. In the book of Psalm 51, and I'm going to start reading at the 16th verse, and this is what it says. For thou desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Elohim, thou will not despise, which lets me know that the one thing that the Creator will never, ever despise is a broken and a contrite heart,
mm-hmm.
which totally in line with what you're saying. It's a certain type of humbling that a person goes through. A sacrifice a person makes in order for him to become better. And this type of person, this is who the Creator said he can walk with. For the Scripture say, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And the only way to walk with the Most High is that you got to walk humbly with him. In other words, you got to have a broken heart and a contrite heart, broken and contrite heart. And so just to give you an example of what I've been doing, and I started several weeks ago, that every third day I've been fasting. And I will fast every third day all the way up until the event that we have. And it will be a total of 12 fasts that I will have accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I've done. I know others who will begin refraining from certain things on March the 1st. They might start refraining from alcohol and certain snacks and dainties that bring pleasure. In other words, everybody is deciding what they can do to start humbling themselves before the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get to Jamestown, they will already be in that state of mind. And mm-hmm. what we're going to do once we get there, we're going to have videos and slideshows that you all will see. If you're not humble at that time, by the time mm-hmm. we get to the rivers, you will. You will be humble.
Hallelujah.
You will be humble. Well, so these are some of the things that we plan on doing. And what will happen afterwards? Only Yah knows.
Hallelujah.
But our expectations is that we be transformed into new people. And only Yah knows what will happen, but we're mm-hmm. looking for something great. Our expectations are the things that we have been reading, and that is that the spirit of Elohim will rest upon us, Israel, his servant, that we can be the people that he made us to be, for he made us to be his glory. And
praise
so that's
Yah.
What we're looking for, and that's what we desire. Praise the mighty Yah.
Okay, sounds great. And you mentioned just now, you're talking about Barack, and you mentioned change, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, just like he promised change, but of course there was none. But,
right.
you know, in anyone who is taking part in this event or, you know, not taking part in the event, you know, anyone who's going to humble themselves on that day from wherever they are, change should be real. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
I don't know what my
That's
change is going to be, but sacrifice, change permanently, you know, is what
That's
I'm looking
it.
Forward to. And I just thank y'all so much, you know, for this upcoming event, the experience. I look so forward to it. Praise the mighty Yah. And may Yah bless and keep you all.
Well, praise the mighty Yah. And likewise, may Yah bless and keep you. Shalom, shalom. And you are absolutely right, my beloved sister. We're looking for change. We're looking for divine intervention. We're asking Yah for this divine intervention. Please, Yah, intervene in our lives that we may become another person, another people. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're asking for. That's what we will be fasting for. Who wants to continue the legacy of hatred, the legacy of adversity, the legacy of vexation? We want to bring about a new thing in the earth, and that is truth of the Most High. Hallelujah. We're going to go to another one of our callers in the 513 area code. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, my brother.
Shalom, shalom, my beloved elder.
Yes, sir. I was listening, and I knew that what you were saying was right. Because blaming on being an elder, but I seen some of what you were saying as I prepared myself to say, we got to seek Yah. And I know it's about change. I had no idea of how you would lay it out. But as you said, how does divine intervention look? And I looked at it through what somebody claimed as a question when he said, how would it be if we go down there and we come back and we go to our jobs and all of that? I was mm-hmm. saying in a spiritual way that Yah can cause and do that whatever we do, if we do come back and all, it's going to be a change in the way that we can communicate with them. It'll be a change in how they'll even look upon us to know that a lot of strength and muscle has been added by the mighty Yah. So I just wanted to add a few words that I'm getting some communication filters already and just in the desire to please Yah and do his law and walk with my people to accomplish that. So you know, right on time, Yah, through your servant. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Almighty Yah. And I appreciate that, Elder, and you're absolutely right. I'm feeling exactly what you're saying also, and it is the truth. We're looking for change, real change, not temporary change. We're not looking for an emotional high. We're not looking for some quick, good feelings. We're looking for real change, and real change comes from the Most High. Real change comes from the Spirit of Elohim, and we know we need divine intervention to rest upon us, our hearts, our minds, our mouth, that we might speak His truth, that we might meditate in His ways and walk righteously before Him. And this is what we're going to do. So let us have great expectations. And why? Because Yah said, if you seek Him, you shall find Him. Until next week, Yah loves you, and so do I. Shalom, shalom.